Acts chapter number 8. Would you stand with me this morning? Give you a change of position. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 5. Reading several verses of Acts chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, amazed, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse number 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Father, we need your help this morning. Don't understand the direction that you have led us in today. Would you provide the anointing that is needed in these moments before us, giving that clarity of mind and clarity of speech, opening our heart, I pray. Bless in the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To put a title to it this morning, just very simply, it would be keeping it real. Keeping it real. We want that. A lot of people want that. Young people want that. They talk about it. They mention it. Keeping it real. We find here in this passage a man who, by sorcery, bewitched the people. He had so convinced the people by what he was doing, by what he was able to do, convincing them that he was a man of God. Does that alarm anybody? Does that speak to you personally? We've talked a lot here in recent weeks, and we've looked in Timothy speaking about the heresies and the false doctrines and the possibilities of deception from time to time. And when I read that and I look at that and I wonder about it, I'm thinking, he convinced them. Now, I realize that the writer of the book here is coming from the angle, or from the perhaps spiritual bias, so to speak, that he was coming from, in the sense that he knew that Simon's background and Simon's strength or his power did not come from God, and so he was able to write it the way that he did, the Holy Spirit helping him to write it the way that he did. But here was this group of people, and I would suggest that it wasn't just a handful of few people here and there, but it would appear that many people had fallen prey to this man's sorcery and how he had bewitched them. He had convinced them that he was true, that he was right. that in the midst of his beliefs and his all that he brought into it, into the belief system, being contaminated by false gods that were surrounding him, he had convinced them that he was a man of God. Now, when Philip came along and he comes on the scene here, we see that some things had changed. Philip was a true man of God, and he was preaching Christ, and he was preaching repentance, and there were some healings that had taken place. There were some phenomenal moves of the Holy Spirit, and he was gaining attention himself, and people began to turn from Simon and come over here to Philip's camp. There was something special about Philip's camp. I wonder what it was. I wonder what it could have been. Could it have simply been that they saw something in Philip over Simon that was real? That was true? We don't really know all of those details. Scripture doesn't reveal all the details. It leaves it kind of open. And that openness has provided a lot of good preaching across the years and a lot of good writing from people's pens over the years, because they can piece together what they think may have happened, and you know, I can do that too. You can do that too. What we do know here in this passage is that these people began to give heed. They recognized that there was something different in the preaching of Philip and the name of Jesus Christ that he was preaching about, and they wanted to be baptized. They wanted to be a part of what Philip was preaching. They were baptized. They followed both men and women. It must have been a pretty good revival meeting. Now, here's where a lot of speculation can come in, because we don't really know a whole lot of the details about Simon, but what Scripture reveals to us in verse number 13 is that Simon himself believed also. Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, forget about the secondary section of Scripture that I read. You know, down over here in verse number 18 and 19 and all of that over there. Don't remember that right now. That kind of clouds our picture when we're looking at what Simon was here in verse number 13. Because in verse number 13, it tells us that Simon himself believed and he was baptized. And it was such an experience with him that he continued with Philip. And as he followed Philip, and as he was listening to Philip, there was a wonderment, or there was an amazement about the things that took place around this man, Philip, with miracles and signs. Sounds like Simon really got the goods. Oh no, your mind is going over there to that other column and that other section, and you're remembering that over there. Don't be talking about that. Don't be thinking about it. It really looks like Simon got the goods. Simon believed. Now, someone may say that he was just believing with mental assent. He really didn't have a true conversion or a true faith. Okay, again, you're thinking about that next section. He was baptized and he continued with Philip. Somebody said that word continued means to attend constantly, continue steadfastly. He was following. He was soaking it in. He was listening, paying attention. He saw the miracles. He wondered. He was amazed. Now, F.B. Meyer, he said it this way, he was, by the preaching and miracles of Philip, actually moved to faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Yet his faith, or this faith of his, was only historical and intellectual without having as its result a change of the inner life. Mr. Meyer, you're forgetting that he was convinced, he believed, he was baptized, he followed. Another writer said, the false Christianity is often concealed under the formal rites of the church service. Outwardly, Simon was a baptized member. Inwardly, he was a hypocrite. It seems as though the majority of people that write about this particular man, Simon, look at him as though he was not converted, as though he had some kind of a problem going on. This other writer, D. Thomas, I don't know who that is necessarily, but he calls him a hypocrite. Oh my. Now we do see in this latter part of the scriptures that the Holy Spirit uncovers Simon. That there is something about Simon that just doesn't quite blend and doesn't quite mesh. There is something to be considered here about it. But to call him a hypocrite. Now what is a hypocrite? What do you think of when you think of the word hypocrite? We could really get off on a tangent here. We can get off on a rabbit trail here. What do you think about when you hear the word hypocrite, or when you use the word hypocrite? What is it that you think about? Is a person who does not claim to be a Christian but still attends church every Sunday, is that a hypocrite? Maybe it's somebody who struggles with some kind of an inner turmoil or even some kind of an inner sin and still goes to church on a regular basis. Is that a hypocrite? Or is somebody who claims outwardly and outwardly aligns themselves while inwardly knowing that there is a sin or multiple sin? They are not living up to their claims of their profession. And they go to church on a regular basis. Is that a hypocrite? How do you define hypocrite? You see, we probably all have at least a measure, something different. Now, there may be different groupings as the way we would define a hypocrite, and we could all come to some kind of a consensus with some diversity in the midst of it. But could I suggest, is it a possibility this morning that the situation with Simon is that perhaps his faith was very real at the beginning when he started down the path and he recognized that something that Philip was preaching about Jesus Christ, it was different, it was good, it was quality, it was correct, and he wanted to be a part of that? But because of his weakness, or because of his vulnerability, that happened because of his weakness, he was at some point very quickly, apparently, sidetracked, maybe even unrealizing the shift that had taken place in his mind. so that his attention was shifted away from the things of God and shifted over to the things of profit, because that's his background. That's the struggle that he would have. Now, the reason why I'm reading that into it is again a passage of scripture that quite often we read over and we don't really look at the depths of the need or the ramifications of that particular passage, where the New Testament writer says that there must be a renewing of the mind. There is a conversion of the soul. A conversion of the heart, a transformation that takes place, but there's also something that has to happen within the mind. And here was an individual that all of his adult life, it would appear, he was caught up in sorceries and witch and bewitching people for profit. And he couldn't help himself. He reached a point of weakness. And he saw what the laying on of the hands could do. And somehow the enemy of his soul came in. Now you say, well, that's far-fetched. Well, I think we can see it from either angle. It really doesn't matter what all took place to bring him to that point. Was he truly a hypocrite from the start? I kind of struggle to believe that for myself, because it clearly says Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And then when you get over here to this other section, I kind of wonder if that's what was taking place. And the reason why I wonder that is because I see that being a situation in people's lives. Keeping it real. Just because you had it real once doesn't mean it's still real today. Because the enemy works in forms that you and I may have a little bit difficult to understand if we are not keen, if we are not containing or maintaining a sharpened edge of our spiritual life. Perhaps his faith was real at the start, but his weakness, and that weakness provided a vulnerability to get the attention of this one thing. Oh, boy, if I could do that. You see, we know that it was wrong. We know that it was false, because he was offering money to obtain it. He was on the right track, apparently. He could have been one of those guys. He could have been one of those men that had great power with God, but there was something wrong still within his heart. Even if his faith was real at the beginning, he got caught up. Now, there's a cure that's prescribed. Verse number 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then Simon answered and said, won't you pray for me? You see, the cure for this is pray and repent. Pray and allow yourself to be completely dependent upon God. Pray and receive forgiveness. Seeking God. Now, it would seem that the cure was ignored. He apparently didn't repent of his sin. He was only wanting to be released from its consequences. He didn't seem to want to pray for himself, only he wanted Philip to pray for him. And it was so bad that Simon was told that he has no part. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Now you say, Brother Ziegler, what is the application here? What kind of an application can you bring to this? The application is really rather simple, and it goes back to the three words of what I said would be the title, the thought, or our focus this morning, keeping it real. The application is very simple. Seek God and His fullness for His smile only. So many times we lose track when we begin to turn our attention inwardly. Seeking God. Not for personal gain, not for personal praise, or not for personal recognition or promotion. But we seek God for His approvals, for His smiles. I don't know. We can debate it all day whether Simon's faith was real at the beginning or not. But what we don't have too much debate over is that he fell. And that fall should be a warning to us, a careful notice for ourselves that we keep it real. Now, when the Lord drew my attention to this verse, these verses, this passage, this message, I literally sat back in my chair and said, Lord, really? The bottom line is that we must keep it real. We personally must keep it real. Seeking God's face. Looking for His smile. Would you stand with me this morning? God help me not to lose sight, lose track, or sidestep. Help me. Help me. Praise God. Brother Franklin, would you dismiss us in prayer?